Good morning, friends. I think the first test was whether I could make it through the sand up to the microphone. Thank you. It's good. What an incredible blessing to be here with you, and even more so, what a blessing to be here in the presence of our God. I am so thankful for the invitation that Neil extended to come and share with you this morning. I'm thankful for Neil's friendship, the incredible partnership that we've built with WDCX over the last couple years. As while you might say, well, what does a university and a radio station have to do with each other? Well, missionally, we're pretty much the same in that we are missionally tied to making disciples for Jesus Christ, who go out and make more disciples for Jesus Christ. I would be remiss if on this morning I did not acknowledge that many Americans like me woke up this morning wondering if the last 18 hours were a bad dream. If you've been watching the news, you know that in the last half day, there was a failed assassination attempt on the life of former President Donald Trump. At least two Americans have lost their lives, at least two in critical condition. Former President Trump was glazed by a bullet, we believe, but is safe. And so I would ask your prayers for my country. For the United States of America, for the families of the folks who lost loved ones at that rally on yesterday, and for President Trump and his family as they deal with this incredibly traumatic event. This is a scary time, I believe, not only in the United States, but in the history of our world. And as people who know and have experienced the power of our God, we see these types of things through different lenses. We understand that what we've experienced in the last half day is in fact the manifestation of sin and evil. Seeing things through Christian eyes, we understand that the appropriate response for us ought to be one that is prayerful. Prayerful for the people involved, prayerful for nations, prayerful for communities, that more and more people could come to know and love Jesus. For the only salvation and the hope for man rests in redemption through faith in Jesus Christ. I am joined this morning by my wife, Monica, and my daughter, Whitley. I'm so thankful that they were able to be here with me this morning to experience this incredible, incredible sanctuary in God's creation. As well, Neil mentioned that I have the privilege of serving Houghton University, beginning my fourth year now as president. And we do, in fact, have the opportunity to steward an institution that from its beginning has been firmly planted in the Word of God. So if you're not familiar with Houghton, we're an institution where you can come and major in just about anything, but the difference between what you're going to get with us and what you're going to get from our secular peers is an institution that is unashamedly, unapologetically anchored in the truth of the gospel. We apologize to no one for that. We do that because we believe the gospel has a soul-saving, life-giving message, and we are doing everything we can to not only introduce Jesus to young people, disciple young people, but to equip them to go out and make more disciples. Well, friends, I do believe there is a word from the Lord on this morning. Comes from the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, I would like to read. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it reads, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? "He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got onto one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you, Lord, for all that has transpired thus far. We thank you for the praise, for the worship, for the greeting, for all the kingdom servants who have worked so hard to provide this beautiful worship experience for us. And now as we arrive at this moment for teaching, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I have prepared, but my words have no power. And so I pray that you would speak through me, Lord God. Speak a word of salvation to your people. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I love each of the gospel writers and their gospel accounts. Each one has a different approach, is writing to a slightly different audience, and has a different writing style. One of the things I love most about Luke's writing and his account of the gospel is the incredible detail that Luke provides. Luke provides such vivid detail, both in the Gospel of Luke as well as in the Acts of the Apostles, such that I feel like as I'm reading that I could be in the scene. He tells us so much about what he's seen or what he's heard, what he's experienced, that we can feel like we're there. And the verses that we've read this morning from the fifth chapter of Luke are no exception. See, the call of Peter by Jesus to be one of his disciples is recorded in each of the four Gospels, but it's only provided in this degree of detail in the Gospel of Luke. And so I chose Luke's account of Peter's calling for that purpose on this morning. And as the verses begin, Jesus is standing in a place, I would have to imagine, much like the place we find ourselves standing and sitting this morning. He's standing near the shore of Lake Gennesaret, or also known as the Sea of Galilee or Lake Tiberias. If you see that written in other translations or in other parts of the scripture, we're talking about the same body of water. And scripture tells us that as Jesus is preaching and teaching, the crowds begin to accumulate. People begin to crowd in on him. Can you imagine that? Can you see that? The crowds begin to come in, and as the crowds come in, Jesus spots right off the shore, two empty boats. And the scripture tells us that they've been left by two fishermen who are out washing their nets from having been fishing all night. And as the crowds come in, I can imagine Jesus getting closer to the shore. He gets into one of the boats and asks Peter to push back just a little bit so that he can continue to teach and preach the people. If you could just get a glance over that way for a second, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination to see Jesus in that empty boat, preaching and teaching with people coming. And the people are coming because they've now, at this point in his ministry, they've started to hear about who Jesus might be. They've heard about his teaching. They've heard about his preaching. And they want to hear. They want to see. They aren't necessarily followers of Jesus at this point. But I think you all know that you don't have to necessarily be a follower of Jesus to come and hear what he has to say. I don't know about your ministry context, but in the ministry contexts that I've served and places that I've lived and places where I've worshiped, that's been the case. There's always been people who've come who've wanted to hear, who wanted to know what the gospel was all about. And scripture tells us and experience tells us that as the gospel is in fact lifted up, that it will draw all people to it. The significance of preaching and teaching the unadulterated word of God, people come. But as people came and Jesus got into the boat, he began to continue to preach and continue to teach. And when that had reached conclusion, he asked Simon Peter, the fisherman who had been out washing his nets from fishing all night long, asked him to do something else. He asked him to push out even further and to drop the nets. Now, I want to have some honest conversation this morning with people who live real lives and have real thoughts and real experiences and real struggles. And as I think about Peter in that moment, Simon Peter in that moment, I can imagine what he might have been thinking, how he might have processed Jesus's request to push out into the water now in today and to drop his nets again. We get a little bit of context in terms of what he said to Jesus written in the scripture, but if you'd give me just a little bit of liberty and latitude, I would have to imagine that Peter's thought process had to go something like this. Well, Jesus, I respect you. I appreciate you, Jesus. You're here preaching and teaching, and obviously people are coming and they want to hear from you. And I'm over here washing my nets, but I'm listening too, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing, for what you're teaching, Master. But know this, Jesus, I'm a fisherman. I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this a long time, and we fished, Lord, all night long. We fished all night. We had the nets out and we didn't catch a thing. So now, during day, when it's less likely that we're going to catch anything, you're asking me to push out again and drop the nets. Frankly, Jesus, I'm imagining Peter thinking this, but frankly, Jesus, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Doesn't line up with my experience, doesn't line up with the way I would reason how I should be spending my day when I probably have to go back out the next night and fish again. But before, friends, we get too hard on Simon Peter, I want us to be completely honest and transparent with ourselves about ourselves. Maybe it's not you, but I can say that it's me in some instances where Jesus's words to me through scripture or the promptings of the Holy Spirit don't necessarily align with my thinking and reasoning and understanding and what Scripture is directing me to do, or what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, doesn't necessarily align with what I think I ought to be doing. I think that's the moment Simon finds himself in here. What Jesus is asking him to do does not make good sense to a man who's fish for his living. Have you been there? Have you ever been at the place in your life where your reasoning and understanding, whether in your professional context or in your personal context, doesn't quite align with what the Word of God is leading you to do, or what the prompting of the Holy Spirit is leading you toward? Now, you heard a little bit about my background. I've been in education for most of my career. I started as a middle school and high school teacher, and then became a professor, and then moved into administration and serve as a president now. I have been, for most of my career, in the business of expanding people's logical understanding. Think about that. Whether I was teaching at the middle school and high school level, whether I was teaching students mathematics, algebra, and geometry, and then when I became a professor, I taught teacher education, and most of what I was teaching was preparing people to go into classrooms and teach students. I needed to make sure that as a new teacher or a continuing teacher went into a classroom, that they were equipped with the tools and the knowledge and the experience that they would need, not just the content knowledge, but the tools of teaching, to make sure that young people were acquiring the skills and understanding that they need to teach children. As a professor, as I moved into administration at Houghton University, we are serving students who have been called by God to do all sorts of things. So some of them are certainly called into ordained ministry, but many are called, in fact, most at Houghton University are called to do things that are outside of ordained ministry. Some of them are called to be computer scientists and musicians and teachers, and some are going to be physicians and attorneys, everything under the sun that God is calling them to, and we are equipping them with the knowledge and the skills and the understanding so that once they get in those places, they can use professional judgment to make decisions. So what Simon Peter is saying in this moment, it isn't foreign, right? It's in a lot of ways, it's the way we think. But we would be remiss as people who know and have experienced the power of God in our preparation of young people. We would be negligent as people who know and have experienced the power of God as Christians if we went forward believing that every challenge, every question, every situation we found ourselves to be in could be explained or dealt with, or any challenge overcome, simply by leaning to our own understanding. Because we know as followers of Jesus Christ that that's not the case. Because as well prepared as I think I've been with my educational background, there are some moments and some situations and some obstacles that I find myself in serving as president of Houghton University, that my training and experience and understanding have not equipped me for. There are some things that God has called me to do and is expecting me to do in this work, in this season, frankly, that I don't have the power in and of myself to do. I found some things in my personal life and with my health and with my family that I don't have the reasoning and understanding to overcome on my own. And it's in those moments that it becomes so abundantly clear to me that I need the power of God. That I don't have in my own power, in my own reasoning, in my own understanding, the sufficient storage of knowledge and tools and stuff to overcome the challenges that have come my way. And so as I think about Simon Peter in that moment, as he has juxtaposed his experience, Lord, what you're asking me to do and what my learning and experience lead me to do not seem to be in alignment. But he doesn't stop there, because in the very next line, he says, but because you said so, I will let my nets down. Because you said so, I'll push out and let my nets down. Friends, mind you, he does not say, Lord, after contemplating this just a little bit longer and reasoning, that I've come to the same conclusion that you've come to, Lord. That's not what the scripture tells me. Simon Peter doesn't say, Lord, well, I consulted with my cabinet, and I consulted with my boys, and I consulted with those I trust. And after us talking, Lord, we understand kind of what you're saying. And so, yeah, we're going to go that direction, and we're going to put our nets down. That's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches that he did not come to the place where he understood why God was asking him, why Jesus was asking him to let his nets down, but he did it anyway. Friends, that's a lesson. Because as mature believers, as people who have come to know and love Jesus, we are people, to be clear, who do not put our brains on the shelf. Education and training is a good thing. As I said before, I believe God is calling young people and not so young people into courtrooms and to operating rooms. And unless you have the sufficient training and background and credentials, nobody's going to let you into an operating room to operate on anybody. Praise God for that. But just because you don't put your brain on the shelf does not mean that you put your faith on the shelf. And you understand that God has, in fact, given you the training and the experience to be in the places that he's called you to. And he's given you the training and the experience and the background to reason. But when you get to the place where either there's a conflict between your reasoning and the word of God and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, then there is no question the direction we need to go. That even when we don't understand, the appropriate response becomes, but because you said so. So as we move forward in the story, Simon Peter goes out, he listens to Jesus, he obeys Jesus's command, and they catch so many fish that they're unable to handle the catch. So many, in fact, that they need help. The boats are at the place where they've begun to sink. Simon Peter, to his credit, realizes at that moment that I'm not dealing with a natural phenomenon. That what I have experienced, what I'm seeing, what Jesus is orchestrating in this moment is, in fact, the power of God. And he says, go away from me, Lord. I am not worthy to even be in your presence, recognizing that it's the power of God that's provided this. And at that point, Simon Peter decides, I'm going to pull my boat ashore. I'm going to leave everything that I have, and I am going to follow Jesus. So there's a question I want to leave for our consideration and response this morning. We're at different points in, across this audience, across those who will hear this message, at different points in our spiritual walk. For some of us, we're new to hearing about Jesus. The gospel is relatively new to us. We're listening. We're weighing this thing out. We want to hear a little bit more. We want to know what this relationship with Jesus thing is all about. And then for others, we've been walking with Jesus for a longer period of time. We've come to know and experience and love Jesus. We've seen Jesus do some things in our lives that, just like Simon Peter, we know can't be explained in ordinary, logical ways. But regardless of where we are on that continuum, the question that I want to pose to us remains the same. And it is quite simply this: how will we respond to Jesus? For those of us that are relatively new and still feeling our way through this Christianity thing, we might be in the place of Simon Peter, where our reasoning and our logic and our experience, we've relied on that for most, if not all, of our lives. And then it feels like Jesus is asking us to do something through the scriptures or through the Holy Spirit acting on our heart that feels like a really important step, a big step. Something that doesn't necessarily align with reason, that doesn't necessarily align with where I would get to on my own, that metaphorically Jesus is asking us to let down the nets in our lives when our experience and our knowledge would not lead us to believe that that's the right thing to do. And if that's you this morning, the question for you is, are you willing to take that step? Are you willing to not take your reasoning and your brain and put it on the shelf, but are you willing to exercise your faith muscle in one of those first big and really important ways where you're willing to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this moment, and I'm going to do something that doesn't make complete sense to me, but I'm sure that it's you who's calling me to do it, and so I'm going to do it anyway. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're at the place a little bit further on down in the story where you have taken that step. Maybe you're like Simon Peter and you've already taken one of those first steps and you've dropped your nets and you've taken in a catch like Simon Peter did. In other words, you have experienced and seen the power of Almighty God in your life. In unmistakable ways, you've seen miracles in your own life. You've seen God perform miracles in and around your family. Maybe that's you. And if that's you, there's a question for you as well. You've already shown your willingness to step out on faith and drop the nets. The question for you is, are you willing to pull up your boat on the shore? To forsake everything and follow Jesus. Because, friends, that's the call of our Lord and Savior. The call of Jesus is not just that we would recognize who he is. It's not just that we would recognize when and how he's operating in our lives. The call of Jesus is not that we would call Jesus in our lives every once in a while so that we could have a big catch. The call of Jesus is whether we, in response to what he's done for us, whether we'll pull up our boats and forsake everyone and everything and follow him. Please let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for the presence of your precious Holy Spirit. Lord God, we thank you for your word, written by human hands and filtered through human experiences, but divinely inspired by you, the infallible word of God. We thank you that all these years, all these generations later, that even in this moment on this beach, you are speaking to our hearts and our experiences through your word. Father, we pray that through these verses you would speak to us anew, individually and collectively, Lord, that in the same way you manifested call on Peter's life, that you would manifest call in each of our lives, Lord, to our common calling to follow you, forsaking all and following you, and for the individual ways you've called and equipped each one of us. Lord God, give us the ears to hear. Give us the courage and the conviction to follow. And Father God, give us the fortitude and the strength to see that calling through. For we pray this in all prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.